Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. This is God's Word. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, son of Elah, became king of Israel and Samaria, and he reigned 9 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not like the kings of Israel who preceded him. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up to attack Hoshea, who had been Shalmaneser's vassal and had paid him tribute. But the king of Assyria discovered that Hoshea was a traitor, for he had sent envoys to So, king of Egypt, and he no longer paid tribute to the king of Assyria as he'd done year by year. Therefore, Shalmaneser seized him and put him in prison. The king of Assyria invaded the entire land, marched against Samaria, and laid siege to it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and deported the Israelites to Assyria. He settled them in Hala, in Gozan, on the Habor River, and in the towns of the Medes. All this took place because the Israelites had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of Egypt from under the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They worshipped other gods and followed the practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before them, as well as the practices that the kings of Israel had introduced. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. From watchtower to fortified city, they built themselves high places in all their towns. They set up sacred stones and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading tree. At every high place, they burned incense, as the nations whom the Lord had driven out before them had done. They did wicked things that provoked the Lord to anger. They worshipped idols, though the Lord had said, "You shall not do this." The Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and seers, "Turn from your evil ways. Observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I commanded your fathers to obey and that I delivered to you through my servants, the prophets." But they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their fathers, who did not trust in the Lord their God. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he had made with their fathers and the warnings he had given them. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, "Do not do as they do." And they did the things the Lord had forbidden them to do. They forsook all the commands of the Lord their God and made for themselves 2 idols cast in the shape of calves and an Asherah pole. They bowed down to all the starry host and they worshipped Baal. They sacrificed their sons and daughters in the fire. They practiced divination and sorcery and sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his presence. Only the tribe of Judah was left, and even Judah did not keep the commands of the Lord their God. They followed the practices Israel had introduced. Therefore, the Lord rejected all the people of Israel. He afflicted them and gave them into the hands of plunderers until he thrust them from his presence. When he tore Israel away from the house of David, they made Jeroboam, son of Nebat, their king. Jeroboam enticed Israel away from following the Lord and caused them to commit a great sin. The Israelites persisted in all the sins of Jeroboam and did not turn away from them until the Lord removed them from his presence, as he had warned them through all his servants, the prophets. So the people of Israel were taken from their homeland into exile in Assyria, and they are still there. The king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath and Sepharvaim and settled them in the towns of Samaria to replace the Israelites. They took over Samaria and lived in its towns. When they first lived there, they did not worship the Lord. So he sent lions among them, and they killed some of the people. It was reported to the king of Assyria, "The people you deported and resettled in the towns of Samaria do not know what the God of that country requires. He has sent lions among them, which are killing them off, because the people do not know what he requires." Then the king of Assyria gave this order, "Have one of the priests you took captive from Samaria go back to live there and teach the people what the God of the land requires." So one of the priests who had been exiled from Samaria came to live in Bethel and taught them how to worship the Lord. Nevertheless, each national group made its own gods in the several towns where they settled and set them up in the shrines that the people of Samaria had made at the high places. The men from Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth. The men from Cutha made Nergal. The men from Hamath made Ashima. The Abites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burned their children in the fire as sacrifices to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. They worshipped the Lord, but they also appointed all sorts of their own people to officiate for them as priests in the shrines at the high places. They worshipped the Lord, but they also served their own gods in accordance with the custom of the nations from which they'd been brought. To this day, they persist in their former practices. They neither worship the Lord nor adhere to the decrees and ordinances, the laws and commands that the Lord gave the descendants of Jacob, whom he named Israel. When the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites, he commanded them, "Do not worship any other gods or bow down to them, serve them, or sacrifice to them. But the Lord, who brought you up out of Egypt with mighty power and outstretched arm, is the one you must worship. To him you shall bow down, and to offer him sacrifices. You must always be careful to keep the decrees and ordinances, the laws and commands he wrote for you. Do not worship other gods. Do not forget the covenant I have made with you, and do not worship other gods. Rather, worship the Lord your God. It is he who will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies." They would not listen, however, but persisted in their former practices. Even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. To this day, their children and grandchildren continue to do as their fathers did. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
I'm tempted to do this in two sections, but we're going to try and do it as one. The bottom line is that disaster and destruction and displacement happened all because God's people refused to repent and instead continued in sin. If you go back and you research how the Assyrians treated those whom they defeated and these people they relocated, the relocation was a big part of their deal. And the way that they relocated the people was basically they beat them and stripped them naked and put hooks in their flesh, like you'd catch a fish, and then marched them along in chains. And it wasn't just the Israelites who experienced this. This is what the Assyrians did to the people they defeated in place after place after place. They were very successful militarily. And they were extremely, famously cruel. How could God let that happen to these people? Because God kept warning them. God says, do this and live. Do this and you'll die. In the garden, there was only one tree that was forbidden. And what did we do? Don't say we, Pastor, I wasn't there. Yes, you were. You were in the loins of Adam. And our first parents disobeyed God and ate from the one tree that was forbidden. I mean, you'd never do anything like that, would you? Every day. I know I shouldn't, but I'll make an exception. I know I shouldn't, but it's no big deal. Well, nobody has to know. One of the things we see in the description of what these people did that just shows the folly of sin. Look at verse 9. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. Secretly? Who was it a secret from? Well, they didn't let the other people know, and somehow there was this idea that God didn't know either. God knows everything. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it altogether. Even when I haven't decided what I'm going to say, God knows exactly what I'm going to say. God knows the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. He knows our motives. There have been various times in my life when I had a perfectly rationalized reason for doing what I was doing. It was for this good purpose or for that good purpose. And God just pulled back the curtain on my own heart, and I was mortified. It's a good word for it. I was mortified, just horrified, just dismayed, and wanting to put that to death because we lie to ourselves. You see, the heart isn't just wicked. It's deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? We fool ourselves into thinking, well, the reason I'm doing this is this. That's not the reason. That's a reason we came up with. The reason is because of this, but that wouldn't look so good. So we're not going to bring that out in the light. We're going to leave that one in the dark. They secretly did things that God had said not to do. We sound a lot like this chapter, where people think they can secretly sin and it's okay. Let me tell you, God sees it all. God knows it all. Don't ever think that what you're doing is okay as long as others don't know. The question is, what does God see? What does God say? It's God's view that matters. What does God say about what you're doing? So, all these disasters took place because the Israelites had sinned against the Lord. And they didn't just kind of one afternoon they blew it. One morning they were having a tough time getting started and their attitude wasn't what it should have been. One evening they were worn out and they were a bit snippy. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a lifestyle of wickedness. Ongoing disobedience despite repeated warnings. God sent messengers, not just year after year, generation after generation. And the people continued in sin. The Lord warned Israel and Judah, verse 13. Verse 14, but they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their fathers who did not trust in the Lord their God. Please notice, at the heart of the wickedness is they did not trust in the Lord their God. Go back to the garden. What got us in trouble in the garden? God said, don't do this. The snake said, you can't believe what God says. You can't trust his word. God doesn't have your best interest at heart. Do what you want. Eat that fruit. It'll be good for you. At the root of sin is unbelief. Failing to trust in the Lord. And so their sins were many. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he had made with their fathers and the warnings he had given them. They followed worthless idols and they themselves became worthless. Your life isn't worth squat when you are pursuing other things. They became worthless because they were devoting their lives to worthless idols. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, do not do as they do. And they did the things the Lord had forbidden them to do. And I mean, it's this list. When it says they had sinned against the Lord, again, I repeat, it wasn't just an isolated incident. It was generation after generation of unbelief and rebellion. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his presence. Only the tribe of Judah was left, and even Judah did not keep the commands of the Lord their God. So the Israelites persisted in all the sins of Jeroboam, didn't turn away from them until the Lord removed them from his presence, as he had warned them through all his servants, the prophets. Are taken from their homeland into exile in Assyria, and they're still there as this is written. Now, what follows is another remarkable incident. Beginning in verse 24, the king of Assyria didn't want to let the land just go to ruin. Since these people who lived there have been taken out, there were still nice buildings and vineyards and so forth. So let's send in, resettle some of these other nations, these other people groups that the Assyrians had conquered elsewhere. So they took these people from this place, these people from this place, these people from this place, and like America, they wanted to turn it into a melting pot. Okay? We're going to just let everybody assimilate, and it's all going to be good. Well, that didn't work very well here either. But they had an additional problem beyond the fact that they didn't want to assimilate with each other and they each wanted to have their own gods. They quickly discovered that they made great food for lions. The Lord sent lions among them and the lions were killing them and eating them. The people you deported and resettled in the towns of Samaria do not know what the God of that country requires. He has sent lions among them which are killing them off, because the people do not know what he requires. These pagans didn't know the Lord, but they could tell this is a divine thing. This is not just typical feline behavior. Okay? There's a reason why we're being targeted with such success by these lions. This is supernatural. When God sends punishments on people today, and any preacher dares to suggest that perhaps the reason this catastrophe is happening is because we've been sinning against God. If you dare to say such a thing, you will be absolutely vilified and ostracized, because God is love. Well, God is love. God is also holy. And God does sometimes send disaster, and we deserve it. It's astounding to me that the Lord has allowed our nation to continue, given how much we know of the truth and how consistently our culture is saying, leave me alone. I want to do what I want to do. God warns repeatedly, there's going to come a day when you're going to pay. And he appeals to people. Turn while you have the opportunity. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. These folks who didn't know the Lord recognized divine punishment. And so they said, we don't know what he wants. We just know we're not doing it. We'd like to know how to do it. And so the king from Assyria sends one of the priests who's been taken out of Israel back to Israel and says, show these people what they're supposed to do. What does the God of that area want? Now, I've got to take just a moment to point out all these folks had their own God from their area that they worshiped. And they thought, very mistakenly, that the God of Israel was also a territorial God, because demons are territorial. Ephesians 6, book of Daniel, the prince of Persia is responsible for this area. All right? We are at war against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are ranks and there are regions. But guess what? They thought God was like that, and he's not. Guess what God's area is? The universe, because he created it. When Jonah got in trouble, and he told the sailors that he was in trouble with the God who created the earth and the seas and everything else, they were terrified. They never heard of a God like that. King of Assyria didn't know about the God who is God. He thought he was a God over this area. So the reason they're having trouble with the lions is because the God of that area is upset. Find out what he wants and teach the people how to do it. And the people wanted to learn. So this priest comes and he explains to them some of the things that God likes in the way of sacrifice and that kind of thing. They didn't get it. What are they doing? They're trying to observe rituals in order to serve the Lord, but they're also continuing to serve their own gods. They worshiped the Lord, verse 32, but they also appointed all sorts of their own people to officiate for them as priests in the shrines at the high places. They worshiped the Lord, but they also served their own gods in accordance with the customs of the nations from which they had been brought. Just like what's going on today. It's exactly what's going on today. There are tons of churches where ultimately lip service is paid to God, but the principal thing that's going on there is keeping up the customs of the nations around. The culture tells the church what to do. I'll tell you, we need mercy. We need repentance. All this disaster took place because the Israelites had sinned against the Lord. One of these days, God's going to say, time's up. And the only safe place is in Jesus Christ. Because I've already blown it, and so have you. And our only hope is amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But if you have been saved by God's grace, don't persist in trying to live like the world around you. Because it's not both and, it's Jesus only. Follow him wholeheartedly.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.pastorwood.org.